In the name of Jesus, amen. What a beautiful ball. Amen. I mean, it's an amazing thing. Made by God. He simply spoke it into existence. Boom. There it was. Our powerful God. It's filled with wonder and amazement, mystery and miracle. Oh, it's also filled with all kinds of challenges and things that we just sometimes don't even have a clue on how to deal with. Amen? Made by God. Made by God. There are things in your life and my life where we find ourselves just saying, what are we supposed to do? And yet there are so many things in your life and my life that are just amazing in this world that God has given to us. It's huge. It's an amazing thing. And to this ball, God sent his son to rescue the human race. And Jesus talks about that today in such an interesting way. He talks about a guy that plants a crop. He plants the seed, yet how it grows, he knows not how. Plants the seed. And then Jesus explains to us, he certainly explained things privately to his disciples who wrote them down for us in the scriptures. He says the kingdom of God is like that seed. It starts out so small in your life and my life. Maybe it's not that big of a deal. Maybe we try to live out our life without it as much as we can. And yet it becomes something that grows larger and larger and larger. And it takes on such size that we can live our whole life in its branches, hearkening back to Ezekiel. Across the spectrum of your life and my life, the kingdom of God is a place of refuge and rescue and new possibilities. The kingdom of God. I don't know, I think about some of the trees around here and some of the things that fly into them. Don't park my car underneath the trees at Walmart because I know it's like a scene out of the Stephen King novel, right? The grackles with all their squawking and crowing and, well, you know what else. But the kingdom of God is the biggest tree around, and it grows, though we don't know how. Oftentimes, for you and for me, we think the kingdom of God is going to fail. It's not going to work any longer with this in my life or that in my family. We're poor judges of how the kingdom of God works because, in truth, we must say, I know not how. I know not how. But God does. God knows. He knows how the kingdom grows. For many of us, it started in the waters of baptism. I wasn't even aware of it. I was kind of like the passive exhibit A that was the object of God's grace. But the kingdom of God planted nonetheless for all of us who are baptized as babies. For some of us, the kingdom was planted a little later, starting out small in every way, shape, or form, and yet having an impact unlike anything else and everything else, because it's the kingdom of God. Amazing. Amazing. But we have to understand something about the kingdom of God, because we're Lutherans and, you know, we have our systematic theology. Maybe some of you are actually thinking, wait a second, kingdom of God, what kingdom? Well, there's a couple. Well, we'll talk about that. Because we understand that there's the kingdom of the left, which is, you know, the state and actually the kingdom of power. And then there's the kingdom of the right, where we talk about the kingdom of grace. And we even talk about the kingdom of glory. Some of our dear family have traveled to the shores of forever, beholding the face of God, no longer walking by faith, but by sight. They see God. So what kingdom are we talking about? Well, it's the one that grows, starts out small. So it can't be the kingdom of power. That's where we live. Can you see your house? Spinning 1,000 miles an hour? All the time. Traveling around the world at 67,000 miles an hour. Boy, buckle up. Are you spinning? I mean, isn't that amazing? You know how long it takes the sun traveling at 67,000 miles an hour to get around the sun? Here's what the nerds figured out. 365 days. Okay, you probably got that. But 5 hours and 59 seconds. Who made that? God did. And it's in the Milky Way solar system. Lots of other suns in the Milky Way system. And the universe, they say, I mean, you Google it and they give you this exponential thing and you go, kind of, well, I don't do that kind of math. It's like trillions of trillions of solar systems in the universe. Who made it? God did. How long did it take him? A couple of split moments. He simply spoke it into existence. This is the kingdom of power. This is the scary God stuff. This is the scary God theology. This is the, oh my goodness, I don't know about this God. He seems pretty awesome, pretty amazing, the quintessential engineer in all way, shape, or form. And that's where we have all of our problems too. Could he even care about us if we're that insignificant to all that he's made? Scary God theology stuff. Kingdom of power stuff. And everyone lives in the kingdom of power. Everyone does. It is what it is. It's just the way it is. So when Jesus talks about the kingdom, we have to understand which kingdom it is that grows before we move further. He's in charge of it all as well. There's an interesting place in Jeremiah where, just to give you a little bit of context, God, through the prophets, had warned his dear family to trust in him, to not rely on themselves, to seek him for help, to ask for his care, to tell one another what it means to have him as their God, to rest on the Sabbath, to not think that it all depends on them. And they got to the point where they were just playing church, and God has to discipline the church in a painful way. Talk about the ultimate church discipline, sparing a lot of the gory details. He's not just going to deal with the church. He's going to deal with the nations and all the false idols and false gods of all the nations. He's just going to let everyone know there's no one other God but himself. And so at one point in his ministry, Jeremiah is told by God, I want you to tell this to all the people that have come to Jerusalem, and they need to take it back to their bosses, their masters, their kings. I'll tell you. Those familiar with Jeremiah's ministry, I'm always thankful I'm a New Testament pastor, because those Old Testament prophets had quite a time. Nothing compares to what they had to deal with. So here's what God says to Jeremiah. He says, send word to the kings of Edom, Moab, Ammon, Tyre, Sidon, through the envoys who have come to Jerusalem, to Zedekiah, king of Judah, give them a message for their masters to say. So God is telling Jeremiah, here's what you're supposed to say to the messengers so they can take it back to their kings. Give them a message for their masters and say, this is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Quote, tell this to your masters. Now, so God is expecting the envoys to go back saying, thus saith the Lord. And here's what God tells them to say. This is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Tell this to your masters. With my great power and outstretched arm, I made the earth and its people and all the animals that are on it, and I give it, the earth, to anyone I please. Oh, scary God. That's what he does. It's his. Makes you kind of wonder what he's doing. Don't judge him. He's in charge. This is scary God theology part of the message. Now I will hand all your countries over to my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So they're going to go back and tell this to their kings. But this is what God's going to do. I will make even the wild animals subject to him. So my servant Nebuchadnezzar, an ungodly man, is going to be used by God as his tool to do what? Train all the nations into the truth that there's only one God, the maker of the heavens and the earth. And he's going to bring his family back into a relationship with him through some very painful training. But it's also about Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 7, all nations will serve him and his son and his grandson until the time for his land comes. See, he'll also have to deal with the scary God, the God of creation. Then many nations and great kings will subjugate him. No one is going to be left out of what God needs to do. Scary God, scary God. Kingdom of power, different kind of reality. Aren't you glad there's a kingdom of grace? Where God plants a little seed of grace and mercy and love in the soil of your heart and mind, our tongues of clay, praise him. Pretty powerful stuff. The kingdom of power is what we see. It's all around us. And there are times when we think this is wonderful. There's a book, it's like 70 years old, it's called The Flood. It was written by Alfred Ray Winkle, a seminary professor. And he looks at the flood and the impact of the flood geologically. It's amazing to consider the geological record. We see a different world before the flood. And yet, if you're like I am, you've grown up looking at the magnificent world and the Rocky Mountains and everything, thinking, what a beautiful world, but it's all a world that was radically changed by the flood of God, cursed by God. It's to that world God sent his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The kingdom of grace and heaven are seen only by faith. How did Paul say it? We live by faith and not by sight. The kingdom of power can be pretty scary. It's the place where we realize how ineffective we can feel. We see all kinds of brutal things happen. We can mourn, we can lament. And yet, there's been a kingdom planted inside of you and me where we can find refuge in what God has done through his Son, the kingdom that will continue to grow. A kingdom that is also for others. The title of this meditation is Trust God with Cross Eyes. It's hard to trust God just looking at the kingdom of power. That's just a scary God that makes us shake. But we can trust God with cross eyes because of the kingdom of grace, the kingdom of God that is growing within us, where God has given us his love. So Paul says it this way in our epistle reading we heard moments ago, for the love of Christ compels us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Christ came to the earth. He came to your earth and my earth. He died so that we, by his death, would live. No longer for ourselves, but for him who for our sake died for us. So as that kingdom grows within us, we learn to reject our self-centered ways, our selfishness, our own pride, and our own will and ways, and we seek to live more in God's will and ways. Will this battle ever stop this side of forever? No. That's why Paul talked in our epistle reading about being apart from the body. Because this place can stink and be present with the Lord. And yet, even in these bodies, we can seek to do that which pleases God because of what God has done for us and for our salvation. He goes on. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. What does that mean for you and for me? For those tuning in, what does that mean for us? It means that where we feel like it's just too late and it's too old and it's not going to work anymore, trust God with cross eyes. Where you want to just say, it's beyond the reach of even God, think differently and look at it with cross eyes. But Pastor, there are pressures in my life. I know, I get it. So do I. Trust God with cross eyes. How does it go? The seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. This is all about the kingdom of God. How many ways is God, even in this short time together today, how many ways has God been planting seeds in your soil? This last week, going about listening to music, reading the devotion, cracking open the Bible, how many ways has God planted seeds in your soil? Trust God with cross eyes. You're his garden. He's not growing junk. And I know it's hard. It's hard to hear that, but by faith. So trust God with cross eyes. Walk by faith, not by sight. Trust that God is growing all kinds of things. It's crazy. Karen wanted to have a little garden, and the garden is just growing everywhere. It's like, come on, honey. I want to mow the lawn. I want the kids to mow the lawn. Well, the garden's growing. And I'm having mercy on all those crazy little cherry tomato things, plants, whatever they are. and God loves us. What kind of fruit? God only knows. The seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. God is doing things in your life. Maybe some of it hurts and doesn't make sense. That's kingdom of power stuff. It's okay to talk to God about that. God, this doesn't make sense. But I trust in what you're growing in me. Trusting God with cross eyes. After all, we're new creations. We're new creations. And if you're feeling a little run down and old today, let this renew you. And keep in mind what God's will and way is for you, that the old pass away, the new come. That's what your life and my life is all about. That's how God's garden grows. And he has planted his love, his word, his son into our lives. How that kingdom grows, we know not. But that's God's to care for. In our epistle, Old Testament reading, it was fascinating to hear God say, time and again, in different ways, I myself will take a sprig. I will break off from the topmost. I myself will plant it. When my kids were saying, by myself, when they were little, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? God can handle it all by himself. This is his work. You and I are his work. He is the one planting seeds in us by himself. How we're growing, I know not. It's just that we are. And that's because of what God did through the king. I mean, this is where it'd be fun to get back into Jeremiah to see this also there. It's like I'm beginning to realize more and more as I study the scriptures with God's family that there's the gospel according to Isaiah, the gospel according to Jeremiah. I mean, granted, there's a tremendous amount of law in it. Okay, I get that. But it's fascinating. There would come a king who would be different than all the other kings. The Lord our righteousness, Jeremiah. And he would stretch his arms and he would redeem and die for us all. This is St. John of the Cross. The first time I saw this, I thought, how weird. But boy, it really is fitting today when we consider about what God has done in the kingdom of power. And by his curse, what has affected the entire universe. And what in Christ is reversed in the gift of his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God was in Christ. This is later on in 2 Corinthians 5 into chapter 6. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. The word there, for God so loved the world, is cosmos. Isn't that cool? The whole thing. For God so loved the whole universe that he sent his only begotten Son to rescue us, to plant his kingdom in us, to make us a part of his kingdom where we seek refuge. And where we, as we share the message of God reconciling the world to himself in Christ, have other birds fly into the big cool tree to live with us. The kingdom of God growing within us, God's kingdom of grace, where we have another day and another week to trust God with cross eyes. In the name of Jesus, amen.